Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be here with you this morning. Hope you're all doing well. I know we have a lot of people that are heading off to camp this week, and some are already on their way as we speak. Ange and I are unfortunately not going to be able to attend camp this year because our youngest daughter, JL, is playing for Team SAS this week in Montreal at Nationals for basketball. So that is exciting. So we have a plane to catch at 11:30 a.m., so you know I'm not going over time today. So that's also some good news, but I had my daughter park in the north parking lot, so I don't have to see any of you in the foyer on the way out today. So I'll be sneaking out the curtain and trying to catch that plane on time. But it is great to be here with you today. We've been doing a series over the summer out of the book of Proverbs that we've called Lessons to Live By. Of course, the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, who biblically is regarded as the wisest man to have ever lived. And he wrote this book to teach us how to live. And it's filled with instruction, and it's filled with wise sayings on almost every aspect of life. And so for that reason, and we gave the series the title Lessons to Live By. And each week we've been choosing a proverb to emphasize as we try to learn the lesson that Solomon was teaching us. Today I want to focus on what I believe is the most important lesson in the entire book. Now the reason why I say this is because of the emphasis that Solomon himself placed on it. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon said these words, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The NIV. The New American Standard writes the proverb this way, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Essentially, Solomon is saying to us, if there was only one thing you could remember from what I've been saying to you, remember this. Remember that your heart condition will determine the entire course of your life, so you must guard it with all diligence. Nothing else is more important. Now, that statement should get our attention. And so I want to spend our time today by asking three questions as we dig into this proverb. The first question is, what does it mean to guard our hearts with all diligence? Now, this might surprise you, but I'm not a Hebrew scholar. No one's surprised? I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but in researching for this message this week, I learned something that I found interesting. The Hebrew phrase is literally written, more than all guarding, guard your heart. If something is valuable to us in life, we guard it very well. My daughter, as I mentioned, caught a plane to Montreal yesterday, and what do you think was one of the last things that I said to her? Whatever you do, do not lose your passport. Guard it with your life. When I travel, I guard my bag that has my tablet in it with my life because all my sermons are on that tablet and I would be lost without it. So I watch it closely. We have alarms in our houses. We make sure that our cars are locked at night. We have passwords for everything to guard our private information. I'm sure we've all had times where we got negligent and didn't guard something important with all diligence and we lost it or it was stolen. I remember when I was growing up here in Regina in Regent Park, my parents still live in that part of the city. My friends and I in the neighborhood would often go to the Stop and Go confectionery on the corner of Pasqua and Sherwood Drive to get our Slurpees and to play some arcade games. And I remember one time I went to the confectionery, and I think my original plan was just to run in, grab something quick, and then leave. And so I didn't bother to take the time to lock up my bike. I decided I would just lean it against the window. I could see it through the window of the store. I was just going to be in and out. I felt so comfortable because I could see it. But then the video game caught my attention, and I had a quarter in my pocket. Remember when you could play video games for a quarter? And so I thought, I'll play one game quick, and then I'll go. Well, one game turned into two games, and I forgot about my bike until I was ready to leave, and then discovered it wasn't there anymore. I had been foolish. I was not diligent in guarding what was important, and that 25-cent arcade game ended up costing a lot more money. And I remember thinking as I walked home, how could I be so foolish? Why did I risk it for a stupid game? But a bike, although somewhat costly, is nowhere near as valuable as our hearts. And in fact, Solomon is saying to us here, of all the things that you guard, nothing is more important to guard than your heart. More important than your house, more important than your passport, your car, your money, your children, is the guarding of your heart. That is quite a statement. And immediately it should cause us to ask ourselves if we have been making the condition of our hearts a higher priority than everything else in life. The sorrow for failing to guard my bike was real, especially when I had to tell my father how foolish I had been. It was real sorrow. But there is no sorrow like the sorrow that can result from failing to guard our hearts. If guarding our hearts is the most important thing, then even other things that are important to guard have to take a back seat to this priority. The state of our heart must always be front and center in our lives. Now, if Solomon is saying that our hearts need to be protected, then by this statement, he is implying that there is something of value in our hearts. There is something good and pure and right inside them that we need to hang on to. But perhaps as I make that statement, you're thinking, doesn't the Bible say that the heart is evil? Indeed it does. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So Solomon is telling us to guard our hearts above all else, indicating that what is in our hearts is good. And Jeremiah is saying that our hearts are more deceitful than all else. So what's the deal? There appears to be a contradiction. But I don't think that Jeremiah's description of the heart applies to a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. The language of the New Testament is, in describing a New Testament follower of Jesus, is different. For example, Romans 5 verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you know Jesus today, then the love of God has been poured into your hearts. Romans 6:17 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So Paul is telling us that the love of God has been poured into our hearts. And he speaks of this transformation where at one point we were slaves to sin, but now we have become obedient from the heart. When you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, something has shifted on the inside. Something has shifted in your heart. Hebrews 10:22 says, so let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure waters. 1 John 3:21 says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So clearly as Christians, our hearts have been changed. There is a goodness in them that needs to be protected and guarded. But of course, you know, our hearts are not yet perfect. When Christ returns, we will be like him, it says in 1 John. But at present, we still live in this earthly body that awaits our full that awaits the full manifestation of our salvation. Sometimes we hear this phrase, just follow your heart. But I can tell you that's not always good advice. Because There are other New Testament verses that challenge us with the fact that our hearts can go astray. James says in James 3, verse 14, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic." Later, James says in chapter 4, verse 8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So Solomon challenged us to guard our hearts with all diligence, because the truth is, if we aren't careful, even as believers, our hearts can go astray. There was a scholar in the 1600s. His name was John Flavel. He was a minister, a theologian. He wrote a lot of books. And he wrote a whole commentary on this one verse alone. And in his commentary, he described our hearts using the illustration of a musical instrument. He talked about how when you tune a musical instrument, you take the time to get it just exactly right. But then if you hang that musical instrument on the wall or put it back in its case, you can come back to that same instrument a few days later and find it's already out of tune. If you bump that musical instrument, you'll need to tune it again. There's this need for constant tuning. And he says, and so it is with our hearts. It doesn't take long for them to need an adjustment. Things happen to us. We get bumped all the time in all sorts of ways. Our hearts are constantly being tested. And if we neglect them, they will go astray. So what does it mean to guard our hearts? It means that we are giving diligent attention to the inward condition of our moral and spiritual life, especially in relationship to God. Of all the things that we guard, nothing is more important to guard than our hearts. The second question that I want to answer is, is this question, why? Why should we guard them with all diligence? When Solomon wrote this proverb, he sort of answered that question. He said, we should guard our hearts with all diligence because from it flows the springs of life. The image that Solomon wanted us to see when he wrote these words was that from our hearts flows a river. And that river is going to have a direct impact on the lives that it touches. The condition of our hearts determines what kind of impact that river is going to have. I think Jesus had this verse in mind when he said in Luke 6:45, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." What is in your heart is going to have a direct impact on what comes out of your life and out of your mouth. Again, Jesus speaks to this idea in Mark 7, verse 21. He says, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside and defile a person." Sometimes when we look at the evil things that people do, we wonder, why did they do them? Sometimes in our own lives, we ask the same question. We do something we never imagined we would, and we wonder how it happened. And the answer is that evil things don't just happen in an instant. They start somewhere in the heart. A thought comes, an idea comes, an attraction comes. And if these things aren't dealt with immediately, the heart begins to be polluted and deceived. If left unchecked, what is growing on the inside will flow out of us to the outside. What happens on the outside always starts on the inside. Now, if you and I are honest, as we read this description that Jesus gave us here in Mark, I think every one of us would have to admit that in almost every category, if not all of them, we've had thoughts go through our minds. Over the course of our lives, we are bombarded in all these areas. And we can see in our own hearts the starting to produce these thoughts within inside us. We have an enemy who is constantly sowing seeds inside us. He's looking for ways to harden our hearts, to pollute our hearts. He wants them. If he can get our hearts, he can destroy God's plan for our lives. Is it any wonder then that Solomon said, of all the things you guard, guard your heart the most diligently. Put up the biggest wall you can. Put on the strongest padlocks. Bring in the biggest security guards. Put your heart under protective custody, because what's growing on the inside will spill out on the outside. In every situation, what is coming out of your heart is flowing out like a life stream to impact others. The quality of your inward moral and spiritual life is constantly impacting others, either for good or for evil. Are you full of love, joy, peace, faith, hope? If you are, it's coming out of you. And those around will experience it and be blessed by you and inspired by you and encouraged by you. Are you full of fear? Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. If so, you will be defiling those around you, because what is in you comes out of you. From your heart, Solomon said, flow the springs of life. I think we've all experienced this. I've been around people where after spending a little bit of time with them, I felt like I needed a spiritual shower. I felt heavy, depressed, discouraged. Have you been around those kinds of people? Hopefully not me. Sometimes that's me. But there are other times where, and there are other people, and perhaps just names come to your mind when you think, I like being with that person, because every time I'm with them, I feel more passionate, I feel bolder, I feel encouraged, I feel more full of faith. There's just something about them. I love being with those kinds of people. So one of the main reasons why we need to guard our hearts is that from them flow the springs of life. A second reason why we need to guard our hearts is that the whole Bible bears witness to the fact that the condition of our hearts is very important to God. Did you know that the Bible addresses the heart more than any other topic? There are over 900 references to the heart in Scripture. The heart is the place where we connect to God. And He wants our hearts more than He wants anything else. You know, sometimes we do all these religious deeds and we check off a box that says, I did this activity for God. But I want to say to you that God doesn't care about our activity if our hearts aren't for Him. The Bible actually shows us that God turns His nose up at activity for Him without also having a heart that's for Him. One time the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were upset because His disciples hadn't washed their hands before they ate as part of their religious rituals. They prided themselves on their religious activities and strictly following religious rules. But even though they were condemning the disciples, Jesus pointed out that they weren't following all the other laws of God either. And He said, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. And then He quoted the prophet Isaiah. Matthew 15:8, he says, he's quoting Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their mouths were speaking right, but their heart was not. And Jesus spoke to the crowd around Him who had heard His conversation with the Pharisees, and He said this in Matthew 15:11, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them. Jesus was saying it's what's coming out of your heart that matters. Jesus is always looking at the heart. In a marriage relationship, those of you that are married here this morning, you know we don't want just some activities done for us by our spouse. What we want is their heart. The activity, without the heart is meaningless. And it's no different for God. He doesn't care about the activity. He wants our hearts. You understand what I mean by that? He's more concerned with our hearts than our leadership ability. He's more concerned with our hearts than our intellect, our degrees, our service, our gifting. He says in Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You come after me with all your heart, I promise you're going to find me. He wants to be found. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Activity without the heart is a stench in the nose of our God. However, when our hearts are completely His, the scripture tells us that we catch His eye. Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth that He may strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. When your heart is for the Lord, He sees. It catches His eye. Church, when you give God your heart, you find Him. He wants your heart because He wants to share His heart with you. Intimacy with God comes from a heart that's completely His. You want intimacy with God, then give Him all your heart. When you give God your heart, you get Him. So who or what has your heart? If you aren't careful, you can give your heart away to something or someone else. The Bible talks a lot about the idols of the heart. Those are the things that creep into our lives and take the place of God. It can happen so subtly, and so we must guard our hearts above all else. Why should we guard our hearts? Because from them flows the springs of life, and because God is more concerned with our heart condition than anything else. The final question I want to answer is, how do we guard our hearts? I was thinking there could be sermons on this one question alone. I think a great series might be just on the enemies of the heart. Perhaps a future day. How do we guard our hearts? Let me give you a few quick thoughts. When this verse says to keep your hearts with all diligence, it implies that you can know what is in your heart, or else there would be no sense in telling us to guard it. I think one of the best ways to guard our hearts is to be diligent in examining them, to look inward regularly. David said in Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David understood the importance of his heart. And so he said, God, search it and tell me what offends you. He wanted to walk along the path of life. I think it's this heart attitude that protects us and gets us back in the right place quickly. Having this attitude keeps our hearts soft. It invites correction. It's moldable. It's teachable. We all know, I think, that David had a horrible moment in his life where he sinned greatly against God. He paid a heavy price for it. But when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, he responded without excuse and with true repentance. Psalm 51 expresses the heart of David as he cried out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David realized his heart had lost its way and he needed it to be made new. I think when we stay sober about the potential of our hearts to go astray and stay humble before God and are quick to respond and quick to repent when the Lord shows us our hearts, we do well in guarding our hearts. When we see things in our hearts that aren't right, we can bring them to God and He will help us. He strongly supports those whose hearts are His. When we come and we say, God, I want you to have all my heart. I see in me this thing. I don't want it there. Help me. He comes to strongly support us. I think part of growing in our maturity as a believer is learning how to know our own hearts, to know what it feels like when our heart is not right before God. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction, and we need to learn to recognize His voice and quickly respond. We can learn to know what it feels like when the peace of God is guarding our hearts and minds. We can know what it feels like when our hearts are in constant communion with God, and we can stay in that place more and more. In the beginning of this message, I told this story of being careless in guarding my bike. Sadly, even though our hearts are the wellsprings of life, we can be careless with our own hearts. I've always been challenged by the story of Joseph and how ruthlessly he guarded his heart. The scripture tells us that when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he wouldn't allow himself to even be in the same room as her. When she grabbed his coat one time, he left it in her arms as he ran from the room. How often it is that we linger in places when we need to run. Proverbs 6:27 says, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burnt?" And of course the answer is he cannot. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. A person who is guarding his heart with all diligence runs from the flames that have the potential to destroy them. They don't hang around or play around. I don't know about you, but the only flame I want in my life is the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want His fire because His fire purifies and His fire consumes. And so the more of the Holy Spirit that I have in my life, the greater strength I have to resist those things that can pollute my heart. Church, you want to protect your heart? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to guard your heart with all diligence, then one of the best lines of defense is always going to be those spiritual disciplines like reading and meditating on the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Other spiritual disciplines like prayer and worship, sharing our faith, serving, giving, constantly and consistently meeting together, all those things build a strong wall against the enemies of the heart. Church, of all the things you guard, guard your heart the most. If you will guard your heart with all diligence, then a stream of blessing and life is going to continually flow out of your life and have a powerful impact on those that you come in contact with. If you will guard your heart with all diligence, you will know the joy of intimacy with God. You will experience His presence and His strengthening in your life. You will see the hand of God strongly coming to support you, and you will walk in His favor and His blessing all the days of your life. Solomon said, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." How's your heart today? I was sobered putting this message together. I was thinking, God, how often am I careless with my own heart? How often do I linger in places where I need to run? How often am I slow to repent and slow to forgive? My prayer is, God, sober us this morning with the importance of our heart. You are diligent with your passwords. Be diligent more with your heart. Of all the things that you guard, guard your heart with the most vigilance. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Perhaps there's even things in your own heart as I've been preaching today that the Holy Spirit is just putting his finger on. Maybe there's some areas where you've been playing with fire and you're about to get burned. And you need to get it out of your lap fast. Let's just take a few seconds here and just pray the prayer of David. Search our hearts, O God. Point out those things within us that offend you, O God. Lord, maybe I've gotten callous because I've pushed away the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and so I don't recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit the way I once did. Lord, we humbly come and say, speak to us, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for the people of God today, and I pray for myself today. Lord, I pray that we would be sobered by these words of Solomon. He wrote them, and then he didn't listen. The man who told us, above all else, guard your hearts, didn't guard his heart, and it cost him. If the man who wrote it can do it, we can do it. God, I pray that we would live every day with a humble fear of God. Lord, I pray that every day we would get up and take a peek inside our hearts and go, have I allowed some stuff to fester there? Is there something in me that offends you, God? Lord, today we just come and say we want to give you our entire hearts. We want to love you with all our hearts. We don't want to do things for you. We don't want to put on a religious song and dance and have you say, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. So God, soften our hearts. We welcome the moving of the Holy Spirit. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want you to pour out your love in my heart so much that whatever else is in there just gets washed out. Just gets drowned out by the love of God. I want so much of your Holy Spirit in my heart, there's no room for the evil spirits. God, take control every corner. Lord, search into the corners and under the beds, into the closets, the secret chambers. God, there are places in my heart that I don't even know exist. You know my heart more than I know it. And reveal it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.